now. Against all better judgment. Broadcasting live from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. High atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. It's Redneck Nation Radio.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Time for the Renegades of Puck to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need. Join Predneck Nation Radio, 615-844-5600.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
It's time for another Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. That's right, Predneck Nation Radio is on the air. I am your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saulnier, and welcome into the trench. It's time for hockey trench warfare. We go to the dirty areas, we go to the hard areas, and we ask the greasy questions of Mastrodamus in the second period. We talk all things Nashville Predators hockey. Tonight, Nashville Predators back home, finally, against the LA Kings after the CMA road trip wraps up. Did not go as well on the back half as it looked like it was going to go on the first half. The Nashville Predators, after 19 games played, are 13-5-1. That's 27 points. First place in the Central Division, but because of a three-game losing streak, the gap is closing in the Central Division as the Minnesota Wild are at 26. Winnipeg is at 24. Dallas and Colorado at 22. That means there are five teams within 5 points of first place in the Central Division. The Nashville Predators are 5-3 at home, and it has been a while. They welcome in tonight one of the worst teams in the NHL, the LA Kings. The Kings, on the second night of back-to-backs, have already fired a head coach. They have only scored 36 goals, 2-5 on the road, 6-11-1 overall, and that is good for only 13 points. They are in last place in the Pacific Division, but I do not trust this Nashville Predators team against any Pacific Division opponent right now, as for some reason, that has been their kryptonite. The Kings, on the 6th of November, it was a 4-1 win versus Anaheim, and on the 8th, a 3-1 loss versus Minnesota. They followed that with a 1-0 loss versus Calgary, then a 5-1 loss versus Toronto. Last night in the first of these back-to-backs, it was a 2-1 shootout win in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Cal Peterson, only his second career game in net for the LA Kings, because they are dealing with some injuries to Jonathan Quick and Peter Budaj, both listed as day-to-day. The LA Kings, after tonight in Nashville, head off to St. Louis on Monday. 26th ranked power play in the NHL, 16th ranked penalty kill, goals for. They are ranked 31st, which is last in the NHL, 1.94 per game. Goals against are 17th, 3.11 per game. For the Nashville Predators, still the worst power play, and it was on display on the CMA road trip, and now it's costing the Predators points. Now it's come to a point where things need to be done. Ranked last in the NHL, which is 31st. The penalty kill is 19th. They are 9th in the NHL in goals for, 3.26 per game. That is an impressive number. First in goals against average, 2.26. On the season series, this is the first of three meetings. Not again until February the 21st, again here in Nashville, and then March the 14th in Los Angeles for the only time this season. Central Division games on the schedule for this Saturday. Buffalo is in Minnesota. St. Louis is at San Jose, and that's your late night game. Couple of storylines for the Nashville Predators. Ham Houston Yarncroke returned from injury and were reinserted into the lineup for the last game of the CMA road trip in Arizona. But we also learned that Victor Arvidsson going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken thumb. Victor Arvidsson was barely back for a full game. off of injured reserve before going back on injured reserve with a different injury. And of course, PK Subban over the road trip left two games early. One did not return and did not play in the final game of the road trip. He is at this time day to day. Preds after that CMA road trip finally back at home against the Kings tonight. An opportunity to get right against one of the worst teams in the NHL before facing off against one of the best in the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning, on Monday. And then Wednesday, St. Louis Blues for the first time this season. They'll be at Bridgestone Arena. And then Friday, the second time of the season against the St. Louis Blues at St. Louis. So a home and home within the division over Thanksgiving. Sunday closes out Thanksgiving week with a game versus the Anaheim Ducks at Bridgestone Arena. And then on the 27th of November, Colorado Avalanche here in Nashville for the first time this season. When you look at the LA Kings stats, a name you probably haven't thought about in quite some time, Ilya Kovalchuk, leading the LA Kings in scoring. He has 5 goals and 9 assists. That's good for 14 points in 18 games played. Jeff Carter's got the second most goals on the team with 4. He's got 10 points. Also, Drew Doughty and Toffoli with 10 points each. This is an LA Kings team that has been struggling all season long. Mentioned Cal Peterson got the start last night. Jack Campbell also an option. Quick and Budaj listed at day-to-day at this point. The LA Kings just having a very difficult time. The Nashville Predators still led in scoring by Ryan Johansson, off the pace of 1 point per game just a little bit now. 19 games played, 18 points. 15 of those are assists. Philip Forsberg, 12 goals on the season, 6 assists. That's also good for 18 points. And then Kyle Turris, 11 assists, 14 total points. And the Preds are going to miss a couple of these guys out of the lineup. Victor Arvidsson's 8 goals, PK Subban's 10 assists. It is tough to see those guys, but every team deals with injuries. Now, what that means is opportunities for other players. Pekka Rinne going to get the start tonight, as you would expect, at home. He's got 10 games played on the season. He's 6-2-1 at 1.53 goals against average, 948 save percentage, and you know he wants to bounce back from that game in Arizona, as all of the Nashville Predators do. Let's talk about that game to close out the CMA road trip. The Preds had an opportunity to finish this road trip by taking 7 out of 10 points, and the lines going in because of some injuries and because of some returning players. We saw Forsberg, Johansson, Fiala, Yarncroak back in the lineup, inserted into the second line with Turris and Smith, Sissons, Bonino, and Austin Watson back for his first game after his suspension, Salamaki, Goudreau, and Hartman on your fourth line, Yossi and Ellis, Ekholm and Irwin, Dan Hamhuis back from IR, and also Yannick Weber. Pekka Rinne got the start in the desert. Just 52 seconds in, Johansson shot off a Fiala feed. Kemper holds, and this was just the beginning for Darcy Kemper. Fisher goes to the box 2 minutes for tripping at 1:14. Preds get 2 shots on goal, but the disruptive penalty kill by Arizona keeps them to the outside and keeps them from generating any really good scoring chances. At 4:23 into the first period, Hartman's going to the box 2 minutes for high sticking. An aggressive penalty kill keeps Arizona from really even setting up. Only 1 shot on goal for the Coyotes. 7 minutes into the first, Cousins goes to the box 2 minutes for hooking. Grabner gets the shorthanded goal, one of the speediest players in the entire NHL. He puts the puck towards the net off of the rush, and it takes a one-hopper in and beats Pekka Rinne. Michael Grabner, a penalty-killing specialist, has Arizona on the board 1-0 with a shorthanded goal just 15 seconds into the Predators' power play. So now not only is the power play not scoring, but it's giving up goals. 1:45 to go on the power play. The Preds only able to generate 1 more shot. Zone entry issues again. All kinds of trouble out there. 12:55. Kraus intercepts a puck from Johansson. Drives the net. Shot off of Rinne and the post. But the Arizona Coyotes unable to score on this one at the 19-minute mark. A dump on the net from the blue line gives Pekka Rinne more trouble, leads to a big rebound. And at the buzzer of the first period, we see a nice scrum, a little bit of emotion, and Kelly Yarncroak getting a couple of face washes. Nashville Predators outshoot Arizona 16-6 in this first period, but they're down 1-0 on a shorthanded goal. And frankly, the power play is the reason yet Again, 1:43 into the second period. Grabner's shot leads to a big rebound, and Pekarinen having difficulty tracking these long shots in this game. 4:09 in the second period, Demers has his first goal of the season. A shot from out high again beats Pekarinen. Now it is 2-0 for Arizona. At 8:05, Galchenyuk goes to the box. 2 minutes for elbowing. Felt this was a weak call. Nashville Predators, though, given another opportunity to get the power play right. Sissons denied at the top of the crease by Kemper. Smith gets a chance stopped by Kemper. Good jam on this power play, but they are stopped by a hot goaltender. Kemper at 10:39 picks up a penalty. 2 minutes for tripping. He just reached out with the stick, pulled Hartman's skates out from under him as the Preds were exiting the zone. And the Preds are going back on the power play. They're moving the puck fast and they're shooting, but Kemper is coming up huge on every opportunity. 13:05, Sissons' backhand chance stopped by Kemper. At 15:57, Ekman-Larsson pass to Keller, crashing the slot, doesn't connect. Pekarinen able to make an easy save and an easy play. 17:35, Kemper makes a save and a redirect at the top of the crease on Bonino, and he is just stopping everything coming his way and facing tons of shots. At 18:19 in the second, Archibald picks up a penalty. 2 minutes for a hit to the head on Hartman. This should have been a major. There is no question about it. Hartman was down. There was some blood on the ice. Hartman was clearly dazed, and on the replay, it was most definitely a hit to the head. This should have been a major penalty. Not that I think that the Predators would have scored with the extra 3 minutes of power play, but the call should have been made, and it should have been made correctly. This hit was dirty, it was dangerous, and the league backs me up on that by suspending Archibald the day after this game for 2 games. But it was a minor penalty during the game, and Kemper makes the stop multiple times on multiple scoring chances. But before the end of the period, Grabner hits the post on a shorthanded rush. We go to intermission. The Nashville Predators out shooting Arizona 34-18, but down 2-0 in the game. 2:29 in the third. Arizona's got a 2-on-1 stopped by Pekarinen. The rebound goes wide at 2:29. Rene gets 2 minutes for delay of game. Knock the net off at the side, and this was definitely something he was doing intentionally. Normally, you don't get called for this, but it was fairly obvious at this point in the game, and Pekarinen gets called. I felt that the referee got this one right. He would miss one later in a very similar fashion, but he got this one right. Ellis gets a shorthanded scoring chance off of the rush on this penalty kill, and the Preds' penalty kill is outstanding, backing up their netminder for what they felt was an unjust penalty call. 6:52, Kemper's back to work with a glove save off of Ekholm. 7:39, Turris hits the post from the high slot. Strong jam at the rebound. Kemper able to cover, and Nick Bonino picks up his first goal of the season at 12:09 of the third period. Finally, Nick Bonino's been playing much better hockey the last couple of games, and he gets a goal by just working. He absolutely works as hard as he can to keep that puck through the offensive zone, battles multiple sticks, multiple players, and finally just puts the puck towards the net, and it beats Kemper. For all the shots, for all of the jam, for all of the high skill executed by the Predators trying to score a goal, it was a little bit of a flutter shot by Nick Bonino through a couple of skates that ends up in the net for the Nashville Predators. New life down 2-1. 16:25, Arizona's got 3-on-1 stopped by Pekarinen. We go to the empty net with 90 seconds to go. Just a few seconds after that, Demers pushes the net off. This is what I was talking about. It should have been a penalty. They called it on Rene earlier for delay of game. It should have been equal treatment for Demers. He clearly pushed the net off intentionally just to get a stoppage. No doubt, no question, should have been a delay of game penalty. Unfortunately for the Nashville Predators, they are unable to get the puck by Kemper in the last seconds of the game. Arizona closes this thing out, and they escape on their own home ice with a 2-1 victory over the Nashville Predators. Arizona was outshot 45-23. Kemper, an outstanding performance in this game. He dealt with shots from all over the ice. Preds could have generated some more high danger shots, but they did do a decent job of getting in close at times, getting rebound opportunities, getting sticks on rebounds. Kemper just came up strong every time. The power play is what continues to be an embarrassment to the entire league. This is one of the best teams in the NHL with top-end talent that's played together for some time, yet the power play is continuing to fail, and now it is costing the team points. Two games on this road trip that the Nashville Predators could have won or at least gotten a point out of if their power play could have executed on at least an awful level. 0 for 5 in this game, 0 for 7 in another game on the road trip, and what started as a promising road trip at 2-0 ends at 2-2-1. The Nashville Predators started this road trip undefeated. Did not think they were going to go undefeated on this road trip, but I did think that they were going to pick up more than 5 out of 10 possible points. Got to get some things fixed on this team. The power play has got to get fixed. Kevin Fiala coasting, that has got to get fixed. He's dragging the first line down right now, and for 6 to 8 weeks, the Nashville Predators cannot have that. Forsberg, Johansson, they need somebody who's going to execute. The power play needs somebody that's going to execute right now because of injuries. The depth is thin. Maybe it's time to see if Tolvanen can sink or swim. He's not exactly tearing up the AHL. 18 games played, 3 goals, 7 assists. He's got 10 points. But what the Predators need is a scorer on a top line who can also execute on the power play. And Tolvanen, that is his specialty. Maybe it's time that we see him here this season for the first time. Last season, overwhelmed, overmatched, not ready. Now, playing down in Milwaukee since the start of the season, perhaps a little more used to the size of the ice, perhaps a little bit more used to the speed and physical play of North American hockey. At some point, Tolvanen's going to have to sink or swim. Kevin Fiala right now, he is sinking. There's a contract on the line, and at this point, he is not going to get paid. It's not going to happen. The CMA road trip should have gone better than it did. Losing a game in a shootout in Anaheim, losing a lead in the third period in San Jose, and simply getting beaten by a hot goaltender in Arizona. Only 5 out of 10 points. The Nashville Predators started this road trip undefeated. After beating Colorado, after beating Dallas, two Central Division teams, I know it's some tough buildings to go into, but other than San Jose, there really wasn't even that quality of an opponent out there. Nashville Predators should have brought more points home on this one. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio from the David Price IMAX Center Studios on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. Don't forget, you can always check us out, PredneckNation.com. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. Live shows on game days at 5, encore presentations at 6 in the afternoon. And if you can't catch either of those, you can catch us in an on-demand world through SoundCloud, through iTunes. Just search Predneck Nation and you'll find us. Nashville Predators still in first place in the Central Division, even though they're on a 3-game losing streak and the gap is tightening. Face off against one of the worst teams overall in the NHL, the LA Kings, tonight. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. He's also someone you can hear on this radio show all season long right here in the second period on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He is, of course, a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. He is Mostradamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, doing well as always. How are you?
I'm doing good. Man, the Preds kryptonite, the Pacific Division. CMA road trip, I get it. Couple of tough buildings, long road trip, but that's not the extent of the problem. This season, 3-5-1 against the Pacific, Greg. 4-0 versus the Central, 6-0 versus the East. So the only division that's even beaten the Preds this season is the Pacific, and it doesn't seem to matter home or on the road. What in the hell gives with that?
One of those anomalies you can't really describe because they're not exactly losing to top-end teams either. So with some of these, I mean, Anaheim, near the bottom of the league, Arizona near the bottom of the league, home opener against Calgary, games like that. I mean, it's weird to look at them and say, like, oh, well, they're playing better against the Central, it's okay. No, it's really not, because you're wasting points. We saw last season how important these points are. It doesn't matter how hot you are. Teams like Winnipeg and, at least up to this point, Minnesota are on your tail. So you can't be wasting points against inferior teams like Anaheim and Arizona right now, and that's what they've done so far.
It's not the difference in the game in Arizona the other night, but fair is fair, and if the Preds have a major power play, I don't know that they capitalize on it whatsoever. But the Archibald hit on Hartman was reckless, it was dangerous, it was clearly to the head. I don't know how it's called a minor on the ice, yet ruled a two-game suspension the day after. Player safety seems to have gotten this one right. It was definitely vicious. Your opinions on the Archibald hit during the game and how the league handled it afterwards?
Striking to me, because you look at the hit and you see the referee, one of the up-and-coming referees, not a very experienced person, but he's about 12 feet from the play and is looking right at it. And he sees the hit, he sees Hartman go down, and then they have a long discussion about it and decide suddenly it's only a minor penalty. How many times have we seen this league, particularly the referees and supplemental discipline, see a play, see that it had an injury involved and say, that's an injury, that's a major penalty and a game misconduct every single time? Philip Forsberg last season with his reverse hit wasn't really a penalty, but it was an injury involved, so let's give him a penalty and, oh yeah, a five-game suspension. Somehow, some way, this was not a five-minute major. It blew me away, because the league has always been about what was the result of the hit rather than what the actual hit was. This was brutal if you watch it, and brutal, of course, the fact that Hartman stayed down on top of that. So I don't know how on earth they called it just a minor. Two-game suspension, Archibald doesn't really have that big of a history of being a dirty player, so two-game suspension, I guess, supplemental. If he got a major in a game misconduct, maybe he doesn't get a suspension, because they figure that's good. That's big enough discipline, was to miss the rest of the game. But just a joke of a call that was only a minor. The Preds would have squandered it, let's be honest, the way their power play has been. So fair is fair, should have been a major.
The goaltenders in this game, Pekarinen, even though he only gives up two goals, I'm going to say he underperformed, because one goal is shorthanded and both goals from long range. I thought that Rene was struggling to see the puck and track the puck and giving up some very long rebounds. If there had been a higher shot volume, I think that the Coyotes actually would have scored more goals in this game. I thought overall, though, a tough night for Pekarinen, and the team unable to bail him out. Even though they had 46 shots on net, Kemper stopped 45 of them, and he stopped them from every range, and he stopped them in every way, except for Nick Bonino's little dribbler that just finds its way into the net.
Rene definitely had an off night. Yes, it's only two goals, but it just shows you how crucial goaltending is and how much of a concentration position it is. If you lose your concentration, or if you're not absolutely dialed in, you're going to give up goals like that. I mean, especially the one with Grabner, just a wrist shot that, yes, it kind of bounced on him. But if you watch Rene on that play, it just seemed like he was very lackadaisical with it and was just going to get it with his stick and kind of sweep it into the corner. And he whiffs with the stick, and sure enough, it beats him five holes. So it's one of those where you look back like, okay, Rene, of course, we're not going to, you know, go off on him and crucify him for one bad game. It's bound to happen. But it looked a lot like Rene of, say, about 7-8 years ago, younger in his career, where the shot volume wasn't there and he wasn't quite zoned into the game. That's what it seemed like to me, because even later on, he had shots hit him in the glove and not stay in his glove. That's what led to his eventual penalty, was not being able to smother that puck into the glove hand and ended up knocking the net off. So he just was a little bit off for sure. Darcy Kemper, I mean, I talked about it beforehand. The guy's given up four more goals in four of his last five starts. He's been terrible the last couple weeks of the season. And what do the Preds do? Shoot from the perimeter again early on in the game. What does that do? Gives a goaltender confidence. We talk about it, and I've heard people say, oh, well, it's a guy who's ice cold, or he hasn't really played much. Just shoot pucks on him. Shoot pucks on him. No, you don't just shoot pucks from anywhere, from the blue line and anywhere else, because guess what? It's still the NHL. They're there for a reason. They're good enough goaltenders where if they see it from distance, they're probably going to stop it. So all you're doing is giving them confidence in that game. Darcy Kemper got better as the game went on, had some easy shots early on that were bouncing off of him. He didn't look sharp in those saves. He was leaving rebounds out there, and the Preds couldn't get to him. And the game went on. He was confident. lo and behold, they couldn't score anything on them despite their opportunity. So I didn't like their strategy with it. I think you should approach it every single time the same way. Take their vision away, get to rebounds, and you'll succeed.
The CMA road trip started out 2-0 with a victory in Colorado and then a comeback win that they probably shouldn't have had in Dallas before losing in a shootout in Anaheim, losing, of course, in San Jose in that wild game, and then closing out the road trip, as we've been discussing, with a loss in Arizona. Greg, 5 of 10 points, not good enough when you start out the road trip 2-0. They also started out the road trip undefeated and the only team in the NHL to be so. Only picking up 50% of those points, that's not good enough.
Not at all. I mean, I went in there and conservatively said they should get 6 points out of this road trip. I honestly did think that Colorado would beat them, just a little bit of revenge from last season's playoffs. Dallas, always a tough building to play in, so I wasn't sure if they were going to get any points out of that game. But Anaheim, Arizona, and maybe get a point out of San Jose has not quite hit their stride yet. Obviously, news stories coming out that Erik Karlsson has been struggling, and guess what? He's a free agent, and there's no telling where he's going to go. So Preds definitely disappointing, particularly when you get those two bonus wins to start out the road trip, because I didn't think they were going to get those victories. But you come back in three games and play like that on the West Coast, not good enough. And look, we've been saying it the whole season, the power play is going to bite them in the ass. And what happened? It finally did. And people are catching on. Oh, well, they were really good without the power play. They should just get better when the power play kicks in. No, it's a problem. We're a quarter of the way into the season, basically, and the power play is still god-awful. So that's something that has to change. You can change the personnel, that's fine, but you have to change the strategy. If you do the same thing with different personnel, you're not going to get any results out of it.
Arvidsson on the shelf, broken thumb, 6 to 8 weeks. That means the Preds will have to make it through at least the new year without one of their top-line players, one of their top-line scorers, and as Peter Laviolette describes him, the engine that makes the offense go. Kevin Fiala getting the first crack at top-line minutes, seeing if he can get busted out of his slump. 19 games played on the season for Fiala. 2 goals, 7 assists. He's a -6. But I've got to tell you, not only did he drag the first line down the other night when he had that opportunity, he's been dragging down everybody around him. He's been coasting. His defensive effort has been completely lax, except for one or two back check plays here and there on the season. I think it might be time to reach down into Milwaukee and bring up Tolvanen. Everybody thought that he was going to be the savior last year. He was clearly overwhelmed. He was not ready for the big sheet of ice of the NHL, and now here is an opportunity. The Preds need somebody to step up and fill in for possibly 2 months and take top line minutes. Now, I get it. Tolvanen's not exactly tearing up the AHL in 18 games played. He's only got 10 points. 7 of those are assists, but it's an opportunity for him to come up and thrive. They need somebody who can break them out of this power play. They also need somebody who can fill in on top line minutes. It's a lot of pressure for a youngster, but he's a first round draft pick. He's played on the international stage to a high level, and there are big expectations of him in the future. Your thoughts about that?
I wouldn't be surprised if Tolvanen eventually gets brought up. I think that his chances of being brought up are much better than the chances of getting rid of Kevin McArthur, who's coaching the power play right now. So I wouldn't mind seeing him up. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, at least for the near future, unless there's some sort of crazy injury bug that continues to plague the team. Yes, we had some injuries, but you have guys that can fill in. Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing Hartman out there on the first line, or Hartman maybe getting some power play time. I mean, you put Fiala out there, even when he was demoted, you'd still put him out there on the power play. It's like, well, he's not performing, so stop putting him out there. Stop putting Nick Bonino on the power play. He scored his first goal of the season on a fluke little flutter shot from the half wall, basically. That's not good enough. And we saw when the power play actually did look somewhat good, Bonino, as soon as the puck gets to his stick, he turns it over and just sends it into the neutral zone. So not happy with it. Look, we've seen guys come through the system that show a ton of potential and can't put it together. Pontus Aberg, looking at you, guys like that. And what happens? Do we get rid of them? Kevin Fiala, you've got to step up the game. And right now, quite frankly, we're going to save a lot of money if he sticks around and he doesn't get traded, because he's not going to earn what we thought was going to be a huge raise next season the way he's been playing.
I agree with you that I would like to see Hartman get an opportunity at that first line spot. I think that he brings the skating ability, the speed, and the jam, much like Arvidsson, perhaps not nearly as high skilled, but also a first-round draft pick that the Preds gave up a lot for to bring in last year at the deadline. So expectations, Hartman, also an incredible opportunity. You just mentioned Fiala not earning the money that we were anticipating. Well, Hartman takes the one-year contract trying to earn that next big deal. He gets these first line minutes for the next 6 to 8 weeks. He could really capitalize and put together a very strong season and a strong case to earn his money in the future. So options on the first line. Fiala, it is time for him to get something done. He started out last year very slow before having a career year. Right now, it's just starting to frustrate me because the Preds need someone to step up. Fiala is being given an opportunity and he's not doing it. Tolvanen, he will be ready at some point. They may want to take a look at him very soon. I'm in support of that. Now, we've talked about a lot of things that are sort of frustrating us, and I think you could tell that I'm starting to get a little bit riled up here at the 20-game mark of the season going into this weekend. L.A., they're one of the worst teams overall in the NHL. The Preds haven't had a chance to play against a bunch of bad teams this season necessarily. This should be a get-right game for the Preds. L.A.'s coming off a back-to-back last night in Chicago, went all the way to a shootout before winning 2-1. They've got problems at goaltender. They've already had a coaching change. And the Preds, they've got an opportunity. Be at home. Enjoy Bridgestone Arena's atmosphere for the first time in a while. So a get-right game against the L.A. Kings tonight, Mastrodamus. Tell me about it.
Bridgestone Arena is going to turn into Madison Square Garden if the Preds get on the power play and start struggling right away. You're going to hear the boo birds because everybody knows that this power play has been terrible the entire season. Look for that early on in this game. They get a power play and can't do anything with it, particularly against one of the worst teams in the league. Goaltending situation for L.A., I mean, bringing up a guy that's 20 years old to play against Chicago in Chicago last night, Peter Budaj out with illness. He should be in net tonight. We're looking at Peter Budaj, who has not finished a season higher than 90% save percentage in three seasons. A guy that's in there right now, much like Colorado last year in the playoffs, just getting an opportunity because he's the third string and they've got no other options at this point. So the Preds should be able to get at least a victory tonight. I don't know how great it'll look, but you get 2 points any way you can get them, but the way they've been playing right now the last few games. So look for the Preds to win this one. Probably an ugly game. That's what LA is all about. LA likes playing those low scoring type games, low event type games, as Laviolette likes to call them. Similar game to Anaheim, older team, slower, issues on the back end, of course, and goaltending. We'll see how it goes, but Preds, they better get something done tonight.
I don't trust it. Pacific Division opponent, Bridgestone Arena. Preds 3-5-1 against the Pacific this season. I don't know, man. Prove me wrong. How about that, Greg? That was my impression of you.
That seemed to work a couple seasons ago. Why not?
I'm trying to work on it. First three-game losing streak of the season, the first bit of adversity for the Preds, not only on the ice but off the ice with injuries. We'll see how they work through it. This is a mature group. They've got veteran leadership. They've been together for a while, and they've got a deep overall roster. So we'll see how they work through this first bit of adversity at the one-quarter mark of the games played on the schedule for this season. And, of course, we'll be talking about it the rest of the way right here on Predneck Nation Radio. He is a man so far ahead in the future. He's told you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena between the Preds and the Kings. He's the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation on Twitter. You can find him at GreekGoalie35, and I'll be talking to you Monday morning, first thing in the AM. We'll get the week started. Tampa Bay Lightning in town. Looking forward to recapping this Kings game and previewing that Tampa Bay Lightning. One of the best in the East against one of the best in the West. That's a perfect way to start Thanksgiving week of hockey here. Mastrodamus, appreciate you as always.
Great way to start the week Monday, talking against Tampa Bay. High event type hockey on Monday night.
I believe so. That Arizona game, for the amount of shots on net, was overall a low event game. The number of notes I took from that game were dramatically smaller than some of the other games on that road trip. It was kind of weird. The Preds had so many shots on goal, but Mastrodamus laid it out perfectly. A lot of them came from the outside. A lot of them really weren't that difficult. And the Nashville Predators fell to a goaltender that had one good, hot game. They outplayed Arizona, but they lost. They came home with only 5 out of 10 points on the CMA road trip. There was certainly an opportunity to do better than that when they picked up the first 4 points, and they had some pretty wild hockey. San Jose, that could be one of the biggest series of the season, not just in the regular season, but potentially for 7 games sometime in the spring. It's Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. I'm in the David Price IMAX Center Studios. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up real quick in the third period. Right here, Predneck Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Indeed. Welcome back in for the David Price IMAX Center Studios. This is Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Up early on a Saturday, getting all riled up about the topic you love most, Nashville Predators hockey. Here, Ryan Ellis bringing us back from break right there. 19 games played on the season, yet to score a goal. 8 assists, though. Averaging 24-41 in time on ice. I think Ellis is about to break through. We talked just about a week ago about how he wasn't shooting the puck very much. The number of shots he had taken on the season was very, very low. He has started to improve that. We've started to see him shooting more. We've also started to see him take the puck on the rush a little bit more. I think Ellis is about to have that breakthrough. And thanks for bringing us back from break. It's a nice job there. I like that Static X as well. Still think Hartman should get moved up, give an opportunity at the first line. Fiala dragging down his line mates for sure. We're seeing Johansson, we're seeing Forsberg not scoring at nearly the pace that they were scoring earlier in the season. And that is going to cause great difficulties because for the Nashville Predators, the gap is closing on the Central Division. Still in first place at 13-5-1, but now at 27 points. Minnesota, same amount of games played, 12-5-2, 26 points. Winnipeg, of course, you know they're going to be there all season long. They're at 24. Dallas and Colorado at 22. Chicago at 19. St. Louis all the way at the bottom of the division with 17 points. Just taking a look at the rest of the West in the Pacific, San Jose has now claimed the top of the Pacific Division. 10-7-3. They've got 23 points. Vancouver Canucks are in second place with 22. Calgary 21. Anaheim at 20. And then Edmonton, Arizona 19. Vegas at 17. Anybody surprised that Vegas is just really not anywhere near the same hockey team that they were last year through the first 20 games of the season? 17 points in the Central Division, that would be tied for last, but because the LA Kings are one of the worst teams overall in the NHL, that's the only thing keeping Vegas out of last place. This LA Kings team coming into Nashville tonight, 18 games played, 6-11-1, only 13 points. 2-5 on the road, 36 goals for, that's the worst in the NHL, and a goal differential of minus 20. For the Preds, that 3-game losing streak is what has allowed the division to catch up with them. Time to get that home record looking a little bit better. So far in the season, only 5-3. Bridgestone Arena, one of the toughest arenas to go into in the league. A hostile environment, a crowd that likes to get all fired up. And I expect you're going to see a lot of that tonight with the LA Kings coming to town. The Preds have an opportunity to get right, not only end this 3-game losing streak, but also start to get that power play going in a positive direction. I am telling you, the roof will blow off the building if the Preds get a power play opportunity early in this game and they pick up a goal. Or as Mastrodamas said earlier, it could turn into Madison Square Garden if the Preds are on their fourth power play opportunity sometime in the third period and they still haven't picked up a goal on it. It's an opportunity tonight against a very bad hockey team to get yourselves some goals, some power play goals, get yourself a victory, and hopefully a comfortable victory because it was a long, tough road trip, home cooking, good night's sleep in the bed. It is time to go out there and play Predators hockey again. Last couple games, it just hasn't quite been the same. Predneck Nation Radio, you heard from Mastrodamas. Of course, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Live at 5 on game days, encore presentations at 6. When you can't catch us in either of those ways, catch us on SoundCloud or catch us on iTunes. And remember, PredneckNation.com. You can always give us a like on Facebook. You can always give us a follow on Twitter. And you can always listen to this outstanding radio program and radio station. WNSR, great media partner. We sure do appreciate them. No, we're going to be losing a couple of you over Thanksgiving week, so safe travels. Come on back to us safe and sound, you renegades of puck. For Mastrodamus, for the Ultimate Predator, for Felder, Miranda Martin, and for each and every one of you renegades of puck, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. You've been listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.